switch gears today, and we're going to start a new series, and I am excited about this series. I wish more people were here to hear it, but hey, you guys are here, and these guys are watching, and man, we're going to get it. We're going to get it, and it's going to be awesome. Go with me, and I'll share what this series is about here in just a little bit. But let's go with me to, I'm not going to have you turn there because I'm going to read it out of the Message translation. But this is a scripture that I read about 3 weeks ago. And I want to read it again, and then we're going to go from there. Because this scripture really just kind of, when I was studying a few weeks ago on what we were already talking about, and I saw that scripture, it really just started stirring some things in me. And is he got it up yet? Yeah, their Message. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 15 in the Message translation. It says this. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, we'll get into that in a little bit. But when God made his promise to Abraham, he backed it all the way, putting his own reputation on the line, putting God's reputation on his own reputation on the line. He said, I promise. Everybody say, I promise. How many know if God promises something, that's pretty solid? Yeah. All right? We're not talking about some person down the street saying a promise and you don't know anything about them. You don't know if their promises are good or not. We're talking about God, the Almighty God. You know, there are a lot of religions that refer to God, but they're not referring to, it's amazing because you can talk to people out in the community and they're both talking about God, but in a lot of cases, they're talking about different gods. You're talking to somebody of another religion, and they're talking about one kind of God when you're talking about our God Almighty. And so you're not talking about the same kind of God. But it says, but our God, the God, the, everybody say the. All right? The God Almighty. He says, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Man, this is good news, man. I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. I love that. Bless and bless and bless. Abraham stuck it out and got everything that had been promised to him. But I love that God says, I promise that I'll bless you. Let me tell you something. You don't want to be on this planet and not be blessed. See, a lot of people, the word bless you has lost a lot of its power. The phrase has, because, you know, even unbelievers, somebody sees it, well, bless you. Right? And we just, oh, bless you, blessings. You know, I even text people all the time when I finish my text, much love and blessings. But I mean it. Because I understand what it means to be blessed. I understand what it means to bless someone. It's not just some spiritual thing that we say or do, or it shouldn't be. You should not. And I think by the time we're done with this series, you're going to understand what it means to bless someone or to be blessed. Because there's a whole lot more to it than just something that equivocates to kazoontike. Or however you say that word. Bless you and kazoontike does not mean the same thing. I'm not even sure what kazoontike means, but it's something to do with somebody sneezes. Does it mean the same thing? Does it really? Oh, I didn't know that. But my point is even when people say that, it's just something you say when somebody sneezes. But do you really know what you're saying when you say that? We're going to get into what that means. But I love this. He says, I promise that I'll bless you with everything I have. Bless and bless and bless. Hallelujah. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. Do I really only have 14 minutes left? I just got started. No, you didn't. Okay. All right, I'll do my best. Hallelujah. Well, man, I just got started with my message. Right. Okay. All right, that's all right. Praise the Lord. All right, so Romans chapter 15. Oh, I didn't place my markers. That's okay. I know where it's at. Romans chapter 15. Actually, I'm going to read that out of the New King James anyway. All right. There we go. Okay, so Romans 15 and verse 29. Watch this. This is so awesome. In the New King James, it says, "But I know," this is Paul talking, he says, "but I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." I shall come in the fullness of the blessing. Now, I want to talk to you about the word fullness, and I want to talk to you about the word blessing. The name of this series is called Living in the Blessing. See, a lot of people, they say, what we got to understand is everybody just wants the Lord. I just need a blessing from the Lord. Well, you got to understand, a blessing comes out of the blessing. See, a blessing is just when something good happens or whatever, you know, whatever. But the blessing is where a blessing comes from. There is a thing called the blessing that the Lord has called us to live in. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to take my time on this because I don't want you to lose it, but I'm not going to take forever every Sunday. But it may take us a few to get through it. We'll see what happens. But he says this, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing." You notice he didn't say the fullness of a blessing. Not the fullness of a blessing, I come in the fullness of the blessing. The blessing is something that God has put on his body for us, that empowers us to do the things he wants us to do. Now watch this. Let's look at the word fullness. The word fullness means complete of having reached the greatest level or the highest degree. Oh, wait. Complete or having reached the greatest level or the highest degree. That's what fullness is. Now, most people are not walking in the fullness of the blessing. But what Paul is showing us is that there is a capacity for us to walk in that we have yet reached. And so our ambition is to get there. Amen? Glory to God. The full. He says, I know that when I come, I shall come in the fullness. So Paul realized that there's something about Paul. He's walking in the fullness of the blessing. In other words, he has a revelation about the blessing that we've yet to tap into. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. Now watch this. Fullness, another definition. The blessing without measure. Without measure. It's unlimited. The blessing of God on our life is an unlimited empowerment that God has put on us to be victorious in every single thing we go to do that he has told us to do. What happens is a lot of people, they go to do a lot of things, and then it starts getting kind of tough. Then you start, can you just pray that the Lord will bless my endeavor? Well, did you stop and ask the Lord if he wanted you doing that endeavor? What we do is we say, I'm going to do this, Lord, bless it. Instead of going, Lord, what have you blessed me to do? What have you empowered me to do? See, God is not required, nor will he just bless just anything you design. I'm going to go do drugs, Lord, bless it. I'm going to go get drunk, Lord, bless it. I'm going to go sleep around. Lord, just bless it. Come on. And I know those are extreme illustrations, but I'm saying that to get a point. The Lord don't bless just anything. We should be saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Because if you're doing what the Lord has you do, it is blessed. I say this from time to time. Heather reminded me of the other day we were talking. Good ideas are good ideas. God ideas are God ideas. Good ideas are not always God ideas. But God ideas are always good ideas. So just because it seems like it's a good idea doesn't necessarily mean it's God. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, it's always a good idea. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Another definition for the fullness. Going beyond any previous limits. Going beyond any previous limits. In other words, God wants you to walk in the fullness of the blessing. That's why I put it in the Bible. Paul said, I am confident when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The fullness of the blessing. Amen. Isn't that good? All right, well, that's great that we understand what fullness is, but what does it mean to be blessed? All right, this is what it means to be blessed. That word blessed comes from a Hebrew word that's translated into Greek that means to invoke divine favor. How many could use the blessing in your life? Come on, you need divine favor invoked into your life. If you're here today or you're watching and you don't believe that you need divine favor invoked in your life, then you're in the right place because you're going to find out we all need divine favor invoked into our lives. That's why the Lord gave us the blessing. He didn't ask us, do you need it? He knew we did. That's why he invoked it, right? So blessed means to invoke divine favor. It means to empower to prosper. It means to make successful. You know, in the Amplified version of the Bible, when you read the word blessed in the New Testament, and even in the Old too, but in the New Testament, it says blessed, and it has a parenthesis. It says happy. Happy or to be envied. How many envy the people sleeping under the bridges? Now, we're not against them. We love them. We want to help them. And the blessing can help them. That's what the blessing is for, to empower us to help people. But you don't look at people in poverty and go, man, I got so much money. I wish I could be more like them. I wish I could just be without. Man, I'm so healthy. I just wish I could be sick from time to time. You don't envy that guy. The Bible talks about he wants us blessed. He wants us, in fact, with Abraham. Well, we'll get to it in just a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. So blessed means to invoke divine favor, to empower to prosper. It means to be successful, empowered to be successful. That's what the blessing on our lives does for us. Praise God. So in other words, it doesn't matter. But here's the thing. It does not matter what your life looks like right now. It doesn't matter. But what you do have to understand is this is a process. You make gradual progress. You don't go from, you know, having nothing to having everything like that. But the blessing comes on you like that, but then it begins to work something in you. You've got to get your mind renewed. You got to learn to think different thoughts. Instead of, because there's two things in the earth. There's the blessing, and then there's the curse. And many times people will come and get prayer, but instead of walking out talking the blessing, they leave prayer talking the curse. Right? So they got to get their minds renewed. You can't say, Lord, I just want somebody to pray in faith, and then you walk out and start declaring that you still got what you just got prayed for. You got to start talking the blessing language. Big difference, amen? So it doesn't matter what your life looks right now, because God's desire for you is good. God's desire for you is to live in the blessing. That's his desire for you and your family. Why? We're going to get to that. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Why does God desire this for you? Because you were made for this. You were made for this. This is, man, glory to God, the blessing. I can't even communicate right now what is going through my mind and my heart about the blessing. There is. That's why we're going to take a few weeks to talk about this, because we got to adjust adjust the mindsets of people. We got to say, man, let's start getting some more and more of this into our heart. Let's spend time. And I've got an assignment for you at the end of this message. Something I'm going to challenge you to do this week. It's going to help you to change your mindset, to begin to see things from the blessing perspective instead of the curse perspective. Amen? Amen. How many know the way you see something determines what you think about it? Amen? All right. Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at this real quick. Genesis chapter 1. All right. Verse 26. Let's look what God said about humanity. He said this. He said, then God said, because God had done all these, you know, these things. God said that the earth produced and all this kind of thing. Behold, it was very good. But in verse 26, he says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. To be like us. Right? They will reign. Pastor Heather was talking a while ago about training for reigning. That's probably another series coming up really soon. Things that the Lord's been stirring in me. But they will reign. So God says, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Who's he talking about? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's who the us are. Right? God wants us to function like he does. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad to know that you were created in the image of God? But did you know that being created in the image of God wasn't enough? God even knew it wasn't enough. That's why he did this. Verse 28. Then God blessed them. He just invoked the blessing. Not just a blessing. He didn't go just, okay, there you go, I've created you, have a great day. He didn't just invoke a blessing. He put his blessing, the blessing, upon their life. Amen. Glory to God. Right? He says, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, all the animals that scurry along the ground. Right? And then he goes on to talk about in verse 29 about how he's given seed-bearing, herb-bearing seeds. You know, in other words, everything in the kingdom of God is about sowing a seed. You need more love? Sow love. Right? You need more peace in your life? Sow peace by being a peaceful person. Right? You need finances? Sow finances. The Bible tells us over in James that you need healed. The Bible says pray for one another that you would be healed. Pray for one another. Pray for somebody else that needs healing so healing can manifest in your life. It's all about sowing seed. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, now we're not going to stay there long, but let's go to Genesis chapter 9, just a few pages over. All right. Genesis chapter 9, watch this, because we know that Adam and Eve kind of messed it up. They got, they yielded to the temptation and it allowed sin in sin to be ushered in by the enemy into the earth, and so they kind of messed it up. But here's the deal. The Garden of Eden is what God wants for us. That's what he wanted. That's why he never meant for them to have to leave the garden. But the Garden of Eden wasn't all over the earth. Why? Because what God designed, what his plan was, okay, I'm going to give you this garden. Now I'm giving you the authority. I'm blessed. I'm putting the blessing on you. And now I'm going to, remember what the blessing is? Empower to prosper. Right? So he says, now I'm going to put the blessing on you, and you're going to take the garden, and you're going to continually be expanding the garden. See, it was just compared to the earth, a very small region. But God's design was for them to expand the garden across the whole earth. But then they allowed sin to come in. So God had to put them out of the garden because sin couldn't be in the garden. But then he sent another Adam named Jesus to take care of the sin problem, so to give us back that authority so we can expand the Garden of Eden again, so we can expand the kingdom of God, which is what Brent and them were doing down there. They were expanding the kingdom of God to a church, to a village, went to an island, expanding the kingdom of God to this dear lady and her family. Glory to God. But anyway, because of the sin, God's like, I'm going to scratch this and we're going to start over. And he floods the earth and he saves the family. And then in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, watch this. See if this sounds familiar. Then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. He put the blessing on them again. Right? Now go to Genesis chapter 12. Over in Genesis chapter 12. Now we're getting to Abraham. Remember that first verse we read? How talking about Abraham and the blessing upon Abraham. And God blessed and blessed and blessed. I promise you that I will bless you. Man, I'm just going to bless and bless and bless. I love that. Verse chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. He said, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. So God's plan was blessing. And he wants us so blessed that we're able to be a blessing to someone else. But see, the enemy takes that and he twists it and he makes you so cursed that you go around sharing your curse with everybody. Always going around talking negativity. Always forgetting about what the blessing's all about. Always forgetting what God's word said. Pastor, pray for me, and then walk out speaking the curse. God says, no, 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 no. Come on, I got a better life than that for you. I got a better life than that for you. I want you living in the blessing. Something about favor, the favor of God and the blessing of God, it's a magnet for every good thing. It's a magnet for every good thing. Just like fear is a magnet for every bad thing. If you live your life in fear of this or fear of that, all you're doing is you've become a magnet for the things that you actually fear. Remember what Job said? The thing that I feared the most has come upon me. The thing that I feared the most has come upon me. But what if we lived our life with the thing that I believe God the most has come upon me? I'm believing in the blessing. How many know the blood of Jesus is important? But it only does you any good if you put faith in the blood. How many know God is a good God? And we can declare that all day, but it ain't going to do you any good unless you put faith in the goodness of God. The blessing is amazing, but it ain't going to do you any good unless you put faith in the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Okay. Let me just share one more thing and I'll be done. I won't go all the way through. But let's go to Deuteronomy 28. And I'll finish up the other part next week and add on to it. Deuteronomy 28. This is so good. Oh, my goodness. Is this helping anybody? I know some of you, maybe it's just a reminder, but I believe the Lord's going to really open our eyes to help us see some things in this series. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. Now, are you seeing the prerequisite? You know what a prerequisite is? It's something that's got to happen before something else happens. And when you're going to start going to college, you want to study this, but you got to take some prerequisite courses. You got to get this in before you can take this. All right. So here's the prerequisite. If you fully obey the Lord, your God, first of all, he's got to be your God. Right? You know what I'd do if I wasn't saved? I'd get saved. Amen. Because that's really the first step. But if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all of these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Let's look at some of these. Your towns and your fields will be blessed, empowered to prosper, will be invoked with favor, right? All right. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Amen. Isn't that good? The Lord, verse 7, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you, and they will attack you from one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. Glory to God. This is the result of the blessing on our lives. Amen? Now watch this. Verse 8, the Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving to you. And let's look at verse 8 in the New King James. Hallelujah. Here we go. Now, look at this. I love this. The Lord will command the blessing on you. The Lord will command the blessing on you. Man, there is so much good in the blessing. Watch this. There is healing in the blessing. There is wisdom. The wisdom of God in the blessing. There is joy of the Lord in the blessing. There is the peace of God in the blessing. There is provision in the blessing. Everything you need to do what God put you on this earth to do. Brent shared this, quoted this scripture a little earlier, or referred to it anyway. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full, till it overflows. In abundance, to the full, till it overflows, is what the Amplified says. All of that is because of the blessing. How many are ready to embrace the blessing of the Lord on your life? Hallelujah. You know, there is a scripture, and we'll talk about it later, but there's a scripture that says, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Amen. Glory to God. There's everything that we need to be at peace, to accomplish, to be successful in what God has called us to do is in the blessing, and the blessing is on you. Hallelujah. And I love that the Lord says, I will command the blessing on you. Let me read it right. The Lord will command the blessing on you. Say, you. Say, you is me. Right? He's commanding the blessing on you. Hallelujah. So he says, I will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in your pantry, in your bank account. You know, I heard someone preaching the other day, and they were telling this story, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. There were people, I think it's in Africa, that they were reporting that, just hear me out, okay? Just hear me out. This is crazy, but it's awesome. That money is showing up in their accounts. One guy reported that $15 million showed up in his account. Watch this. And it wasn't a mistake. They have an audit trail for where the money came from to his account, and it was all legit and legal. This stuff happens. Maybe you're sitting there going, why can't this happen to me? Have you believed for it? Or do you just go, man, that's crazy. That's ridiculously crazy. I don't know, PK. I don't know all about that. Well, go talk to those people over there in Africa, because it's happening to them. Why? Because they heard about it. They believe God for debt cancellation. They're believing God, that God is a God of abundance. I don't care how many people in this country and around the world attack that message. It's still a message that's in the Bible. Prosperity is still in the Bible. God's not wanting to just pour this a massive amount of wealth and blessing on people just so they can hoard it up and go buy 20 houses and 14 boats. That's not the purpose of it. But just because that's not the purpose of it doesn't mean God doesn't do it. He does do it for the ones that understand that the purpose is to spread the gospel. You can enjoy some of the blessing, but not hoarding it up on yourselves. It's about being blessed so you can be a blessing. He told Abraham, did you not read that with me? He told Abraham, I am going to bless you, and I am going to make you famous. And you are going to be all the nations of the earth will be blessed because of you. The Bible, a few verses later, the Bible says that God made him very wealthy. Hallelujah. Why not believe God for an idea, a creative thought that you could run with, that God's just going to take that. And he gave you the thought, and his blessing is upon the thought, and it becomes very successful for you. Hallelujah. Can I give you a piece of good news? Anybody want some good news?
Yes.
All right, real quickly. Oh, how long have I been preaching? Well, I mean actually preaching. Okay. All right. Let me give you this real quick. Can you take about 5 more minutes? 5 more minutes? Can you give me 5 minutes?
Yes.
All right, here we go, real quick. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians chapter 3 and 13. Now, I know to some people this is going to be like eye-opening, like, whoa. But it's all in the Bible. Why would we not want it if it's in the Word of God? If God gave it to us, why not go after it? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. This is awesome. All right. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. It says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed. There's the blessing. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's us, with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. The same blessing. It's the blessing. It's not just the Lord giving us a blessing. He has blessed us with the same blessing that he blessed, the same blessing he promised to Abraham. Why? So that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So everything that God promised Abraham, he has promised us. Glory to God. Go down to verse 26. Watch this. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. He did not say that everybody in the world was the children of God. That's not what he said. He said, through faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody's not a child of God. A lot of people, well, we're all the children of God. No, you're not. If you're not serving God, you're not a child of God. You're a child. You are a child of somebody, but it's not God. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. That's what Jesus said to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. They said, we know who Abraham, he's our father. He says, no, you're of your father, the devil. Why? Because they weren't doing the works of God. But he says, for you're all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer, you talk about critical race theory, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, black or white, or Mexican, or Latino, or Chinese, or Japanese, or Russian, or Romanian, any of them. There's not even male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham, and you are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So Paul told us in Romans 15:29, which is what we started with, that we can live in the fullness of the blessing. Because we are children of God, because we belong to Christ, we are heirs to Abraham's, the covenant and the promise that Abraham received from God. Glory to God. But there is one requirement. You have to choose to live in the blessing. It's not automatic. Not for a single believer is it automatic. You have to choose to live in the blessing. So now because you belong to Christ, it's yours. But if me and Heather share the same bank account, and I could go in and deposit $1 million and even tell her, honey, I just deposited $1 million into our account today. And she could go, okay, great. But if she never used her debit card and accessed the money, it would never do her any good, even though it's sitting right there. If you don't do something and act on it, you don't put faith in the blessing. But I can tell you, if I told my wife that I put $1 million in the account, she's like, where's my access card? Right? Glory to God. And she would not go, oh, okay, well, thanks for letting me know. She'd be like, she'd be like, where'd you get $1 million? You know? But we have to choose to live in the blessing. Here's your assignment, and I'm done. Simple. Three words. This week, I challenge you, talk the blessing. Come on, that's good. Yep. Talk the blessing. Don't talk the curse. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about how much you don't have. Yeah. We just read that. See, that's deception. When you talk about what you don't have, you're talking deception, because we just read how you have everything. Everything that God has provided, everything that God has access to, which is everything, belongs to you. But now we got to access it. How do we access it? Talking the blessing. Your body, you wake up, or something happens, your body's not feeling well. Nope, I'm healed. See, when you get up talking about, oh, man, I feel disgusted. Oh, I feel so, oh, I'm just talking. I feel so bad. Oh, the pain. Oh, that you're talking the curse. You're going to be talking. Why not talk the blessing? Talking what the problem is isn't going to change the problem. We're not talking about ignoring the problem, acting like the problem's not there. We're saying act like you're healed. Say, I'm getting better. I'm getting better every day. I'm not ignoring the fact that I'm not feeling well. I'm just saying, you lying devil from hell, Father, I thank you that you are my healer. Declare, talk the blessing. You find yourself in a situation where maybe you need more money than what you've got to get done what you need to get done. Lord, I decree and declare that I have every penny that I need. In Jesus' name, you are my supplier. You are my provider. God, I thank you that you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Okay. See, God don't have to get money to you the way the world says it has to get money to you. God can do it in a gazillion different ways. Right? God can meet your needs in a gazillion different ways. It don't have to be the way even you think it has to be. God is a provider. He's the provider. All we got to do is believe in the blessing. So this week, talk the blessing. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this today? I'm excited about this. It's going to get better as we go. I'm telling you, you're going to be pretty excited about the things that's coming that God's going to be bringing to us, right? Amen. You believe that? Come on. Stand up on your feet. Glory to God. Father, we thank you.